Well, good morning, everyone.
Is it on?
Please find your way to Matthew chapter 9. As we continue going through the book of Matthew, we know that Matthew is presenting to the world the King of Kings. He is presenting to the Jewish nation the King of the Jews. He is presenting to everyone the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the one who came to seek and save the lost. He is the one who came to make peace between sinful man and a holy God. He is the only one that is qualified to die for our sins. And we will see in our text today that he has the authority to forgive sins. Now, if only God can forgive sins, then the conclusion must be Jesus Christ is God, right? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Savior. In the last couple of weeks, we have seen that Jesus has been healing the broken bodies of many. He has shown to the world that he has authority over the physical realm. And by doing that, he is proving to the world that he is who he claimed to be. He has also shown to the world that he has authority over nature. Remember last week we saw that he calmed the seas. He settled the winds. He says and proves to all, I have the power. I am who I claim to be. You see, if you're going to claim that you're God, then there are some things you better be able to do. If you're going to claim to be God, then you better be able to do more than just a magic trick. You see, Matthew has been focusing on various miracles of the Lord. He did not record everything that Jesus did, as we know. But Matthew, being led by the Holy Spirit, chooses the miracles that are meant to demonstrate Jesus' divinity, you see. Matthew, being led by the Holy Spirit, has given us all we need to know that Jesus is the Son of God. But not just that. These miracles precisely and completely fulfill the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. Jesus did exactly what the Scripture said the Messiah would be able to do. The Scriptures that were written thousands of years before Christ came to this earth are now being fulfilled. These miracles should have rung a bell in the heads of the Jewish nation. Someone should have said, hey, wait, Jesus is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. He is claiming to be the Messiah. He is doing what God's word said the Messiah would do. Someone should have said, wait, he's the one. He is the one that God promised to send. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the one who can make us righteous. He is the one that brings peace. He is the one that can save the soul from eternal damnation. These people should have known that. But they didn't. They let their own self-righteousness blind them to the truth. Now, last week we saw that Jesus had calmed the storm. We saw that even the winds and the sea obey him. He has authority over nature. And he went on from there and he healed the two demon-possessed men. And for doing that, the poor people of the Port Council and many citizens in that town came out and begged him to leave that area. They didn't like how he interrupted their business. And so that brings us to chapter 9, verse 1. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. So after being rejected by the Port Council over there, Jesus recrossed the Sea of Galilee and came to Capernaum, where he had which had become his own city after the people of Nazareth attempted to destroy him. Remember, a prophet is not welcome in his own home. Again, in Nazareth, another place where Jesus performed some of his greatest miracles, and they still rejected him, which brings up the thought here. Listen, Jesus did not do these miracles on a stage. He did not use trick cameras. He did not use a diversion. He performed all these miracles right in front of thousands of people. He did not bring in actors. He dealt with real people with real problems. You see, the healings he did were provable, not like some on TV today. He calmed the sea and settled the storm. He spoke to nature and it obeyed. That's not trickery. But many people had seen all of these miracles with their own eyes. They watched it. They had seen Jesus do things that only God can do, and yet they rejected him. It just goes to show the depravity of man, right? It shows how sinful man really is. Sometimes the truth can be standing right in front of man, and yet if his heart is hardened, he will not hear nor be able to see the truth. He will make up some kind of excuse for not believing. We have all heard him. Something to point out here, though, it's not the miracles that save people. Jesus actually did the miracles for the believers. People do not come to saving faith in Christ just because they saw a miracle. It doesn't happen. Saving faith is an act of God. We can't trick anyone into believing. We can't persuade anyone to believing. But what we can do is be obedient to God. What we can do is live out our faith in a fallen world and proclaim the gospel in everything we do and leave the rest up to God. Amen? He's in the saving business. We proclaim the truth. We are messengers. So Jesus has shown that he has power over sickness, he has power over nature, and now he's going to show the world that he has power over sin. This is a big one. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the message of Christianity. Man can be forgiven of sins. Man can be set free from the consequences of sin. Sinful man can have peace with the holy God. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. Sinful man can be fully cleansed and brought into eternal fellowship with the holy God. That's the heart of Christianity. And Jesus says that he is the one that is able to forgive sins. Jesus said, like Pastor Ryan just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look at verse 2. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, you have to go to Luke and Mark to get some more details about what happened here, but we can get a picture in our minds on what's going on. See, Jesus is in the house. It's probably Peter's house that he's at, but he's inside teaching. And the house is so packed that no one else can get in there. I like for that to happen here one day, but no one else can get inside the house. The place is full of scribes and Jews and anyone else who could get in to hear the teaching of the one who taught with authority. Now, even though some may not have agreed with Jesus, they wanted to hear what he had to say. So the place is packed. Now, the friends bring this paralyzed man in to meet Jesus, but they can't get inside the house. They go around the house. They can't get in any door. So they want to get their friend to Jesus. And so they go around the outside, and the houses back then usually had an outside set of steps that you could get up on the rooftop there. And they went on the outside to get there. Even though they couldn't get in, the good news is they were not quitters. They were willing to do whatever it took to get their friend in front of Jesus. So they took their buddy around the outside step, go up on the roof, and they start taking the tile off the roof so they can get access to Jesus. I guess they scoped it out and knew right where he was sitting, I guess. You know, they got right over top of him. And I'm thinking now, all right, this is a full-grown man. They're going to drop through the ceiling. This is going to have to be a pretty big hole, you know, to start with. And I'm wondering, how long did it take them to peel off these tiles, you know? I mean, Jesus is sitting there teaching, and then all of a sudden, you know, the dust starts falling from the ceiling. And you know, these guys start, you know, a hole opens up, and I'm thinking everything probably got pretty quiet as everybody's sitting there wondering what's going on. The hole gets big enough as they're sitting there, and down comes this paralyzed guy on a mat right in front of Jesus. And he didn't say a word. They didn't say a word. We don't have a recorded word. Now, my first thought is, I hope I got friends like that. I pray that the church is a congregation of friends like that, you know? I pray that we are willing to do whatever it takes to help a brother and sister in need. You know, that's what the church should be known for. I pray that the church has so much love for lost friends and family that we are willing to do whatever it takes to get them face to face with Jesus Christ. The church needs to be full of friends like that. Amen? Well, these guys were great friends, and they had great faith in the healing power of Jesus. They just needed to introduce Jesus to their friend, so they dropped him down right in front of them. But all is quiet, right? And I'm sure everyone's eyes are on this paralyzed man, and looking at Jesus, looking at the paralyzed guy, looking at Jesus, and they're waiting to see what Jesus is going to do. They all know, everybody knows that Jesus has the ability to heal this guy, right? They know he has that power. At this point, everybody has seen these miraculous healings. Jesus healed hundreds, maybe thousands by now, right? But everyone knows what he has done and who he is. So I'm sure they're all waiting to see another healing. But Jesus didn't do what they expected. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Wait a minute. What's going on here? Jesus, you're supposed to heal this guy's physical ailments. You're supposed to say something to this man, and he's supposed to jump up and do some kind of new dance and go flying out the door happy and everything. And what are you talking about when you say, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven"? You think it was quiet when everyone was watching those guys take those tiles out of the ceiling? I bet you could probably have heard that last speck of dust hit the floor when Jesus said that. As a matter of fact, it was so quiet in that room that Jesus could hear what everyone was saying in their own hearts. Verse 3, "And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves," right? "This man is blaspheming. Jesus is claiming the attributes of God." You see, they all knew that only God can forgive sins. And if Jesus is saying, "Your sins are forgiven," then he's claiming to be God right in front of them. That's blasphemy if you're not God. But as we know, Jesus is God. He's able to say that. You know what? I don't think this crippled guy came to get healed physically. I don't think that was priority for this man. He would take it, for sure, no doubt. But I'm not sure if that's the reason he wanted to meet Jesus. Let me explain. Being disabled back then was associated with sin. Okay? If you were disabled or sick in any way, the thought of the people and what was being taught was that you had sin in your life that caused that problem. Remember what the disciples asked Jesus as they passed the man who had been blind from birth? "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" That's in John 9:1. And you know, it really goes back to Job. One of his friends questioned, you know, what sin he had committed that caused all this bad stuff to him. Now, we all know that all sickness and disability and death is because of sin, because we live in a fallen world, but not all sickness is of God's chastening, right? We learned that when we went through John and James. We know better. But anyways, I'm sure over the years, this man had been looked upon as one who had committed some sin that caused his condition. So I'm sure that, you know, sin was on his mind a lot as he laid on his mat, right? I'm sure over the years he had contemplated sin. I'm sure he spent many hours searching his own heart, maybe wondering what sin caused this, because that's what the religious leaders taught them back then. And that's why he wanted to see Jesus. The ache in his heart had to hurt more than the sickness he had. I know this because look at the text. Jesus knows the heart. God is all-knowing. This man did not speak, and yet Jesus said, "Take heart, my son, your sins have been forgiven." Jesus knew what was in the heart of this man. "Take heart," he said. "Take courage" is the word here, my son. Now, this is not a courage that which refers to outward boldness, you know, the kind of courage that tries to overcome fear by sheer willpower and determination. That's not the word being used here. But the word tharseo represented the courage that eliminates fear. It takes the fear away. Jesus was saying to this man, "Don't be afraid because you no longer have anything to be afraid of. Nothing to fear," he says, "your sins have been forgiven." You see, this man was like any other unrepented sinner. All are separated from God. All fall short of the glory of God. And all are under divine judgment. But when one comes face to face with Jesus Christ and in faith asks for the forgiveness of sins, and when Jesus forgives those sins, that person no longer has any reason to fear. The judgment of God has been removed from his soul. He now has peace with the holy God. The payment for his sin, which he could not pay, has been paid by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself. And that's why we sing, "Jesus, what a beautiful name. Rescued my soul, my stronghold. List me from shame. Forgiveness, security, power, and love. Grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name." And I'm sure that was a thought that this crippled man had. His sins had been forgiven. That fear is gone. I'm sure he didn't mind being healed of his sickness, but having his spiritual sickness healed was a lot more important and a lot more better. Is "more better" a word? Jesus knew his heart. He knew what burdened this man's heart, and he said, "Fear no more. Your sins have been forgiven." You know what makes this even better? Jesus says to this man, "Take courage, my son. My son." Because his sins had been forgiven, he is now a child of God. That's a sweet, sweet sound to a sinner's ear. Amen? "Fear not, my son. You're in my hands now," Jesus says. Now, back to the scribes. "And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? The ones, like Pastor Vince said last week, who should have known this was the Son of God, the ones who were scholars of the Word, did not realize that the Word was sitting right in front of them. And since they did not see Jesus as God, then they concluded this mere man was blaspheming. He was claiming to be God. He was forgiving sins." You see, this is what happens when you see God through self-righteous eyes. You don't see him as God. You see, these men saw no need for forgiveness. They considered themselves already to be righteous. They thought they were righteous because of their works. "Look what I have done. Look what I fast, I give, I pray." Remember, we've studied that earlier in the text. You know, "Look what I am doing. I am so holy. I am so righteous," they would say. And because they had done works to achieve their so-called righteousness, the thought of a person being forgiven simply by asking for it was ridiculous. Right? What kind of works has this crippled guy done to please Jesus? And the answer would be none. Or just as many as the thief on the cross did. That guy messed up a lot of false teaching, didn't he? Nothing new under the sun. If someone has been properly trained in evangelism explosion, and he would have gone up to one of these scribes and asked him, if you were standing before a holy God, and if God was to ask you why he should let you into his heaven, what would your answer be? And the scribe would say, well, you see, I'm a good guy. And he would give you a list of things that he does to please God. Nothing new under the sun. People give the same answer today as they would have back then. Self-righteous people see no need for forgiveness because that they believe they're already righteous by their own works. They're good people. They're pretty good people. So if forgiving sins was not enough for them to recognize that Jesus is God, that should have been a big one there. Jesus does something else that should have got their wheels turning. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? He knew their thoughts. He said out loud what they were thinking. That should have knocked their sandals off their feet, right? That should have put the fear of God in their hearts. You know, they should have then been saying in their hearts, how do you know what I was thinking? And if they'd have done that, Jesus would have answered out loud, because I'm God. But they didn't do that. They should have known that they was God. They should have fallen to their knees and asked for forgiveness. Listen, everyone knew that God, and everyone knows that God is all-knowing, and they should have put that together, right? He just told the guy his sins are forgiven. He just said what they were thinking in their hearts. They should have put that together. Because God knows every person's thoughts. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. You see, Jesus' glory and divinity were veiled by his humanity and mortality. That's true. But while Jesus walked as a human on this earth, he never ceased to be God. When Jesus was born, God became a man. Jesus was not part man and part God. He was completely human and completely divine. Jesus Christ is the perfect expression of God in human form. You must know this doctrine about Jesus because there is false teaching about who he is. As a man, Jesus was subject to place and time and other human limitations. But he did not give up his eternal power when he became a human, okay? For a time, he set aside his glory and his rights for a time. But that was in response to the Father's will. Jesus was fully man and fully God. He was all-knowing. He knew what was in the heart of man. He knew what was in the heart of the crippled guy. He knew what was in the heart of those Pharisees and scribes because he is God. But that's not what the scribes thought. Their thoughts were, who is this man who thinks he's God? That's the way they saw him. But Jesus called him out. He said, you have evil in your hearts. Why do you have evil in your hearts? See, their hearts were so hardened against Christ that every miracle they saw him do made them harden their hearts even more, right? Even though every miracle that he did was evidence of his divinity and messiahship, which should have drawn them closer, instead drove them further away. Your sins have been forgiven, said Jesus. This is exactly what the scribes wanted to hear. Because of the evil in their heart was, now we got him. Now we got Jesus. We've been following him around and listening to all this teaching. Now we got him. He has blasphemed God. And you know what? That's punishable by death. Okay, now they're happy. They got him. They were jealous over Jesus' popularity. They hated that he had power to heal. So they didn't come to that house that day to hear truth. They came to condemn, and they just got the ammo that they think they got. They think they got him now. They think. But Jesus, the masterful teacher he is, turns the table on them. He puts the ball in their court. But Jesus, verse 4, knowing their thoughts, says, why do you have evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? Very simple question. What's easier to say? It's easier to say either one of them. Anybody could say that, right? The real question is, which is easier to do? You see, both are humanly impossible. Everyone knows that. Everyone there knew that. But the ones who had evil in their hearts, they said nothing, right? They didn't say anything. Like I said, the answer was obvious. Both things are equally impossible for man, but both are equally possible for God. God can heal and God can forgive sins. Man can do neither. But the scribes didn't want to verbalize that. They didn't want to say it. They knew they were in a pickle. Where'd that come from? If they answer and say, well, only God can do either, they're in trouble. They know that Jesus can heal. They've seen multiple healings. They know that only Jesus can do that, that only God can do that. And yet they would not see or say that Jesus is God. They couldn't see him as God, and they wouldn't say that he is God. But, you know, their own distorted theology should have led the scribes and Pharisees to believe in Jesus' divinity. If, as they believed and taught, sickness and disease were consequences of sin, then removing the disease would be connected to dealing with the sin that caused it, right? You see, their way of thinking should have led them to believe that Jesus is God. They had seen many healings. So if Jesus had healed these people of their sickness, then that would mean that he also dealt with their sin that caused the sickness. They were trapped in their own messed up theology and logic. And because of that, they were silent. They couldn't say anything. So Jesus asked, which is easier to say? Remember, Jesus has already said, your sins are forgiven, right? But that claim can't be verified. They can't verify that claim. The scribes and Pharisees had no visible way to verify the paralytic's forgiveness, but they were about to receive abundant evidence of his healing, which would then force the conclusion that Jesus could not only deal with healing, but he could also deal with sin. Verse 6, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise up. Rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home. And when the crowd saw it, they were afraid. They glorified God who had given such authority to men. The word afraid is like awe. They had so much awe. So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Since you know that only God can heal, Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to heal this guy to prove I'm God. And with this healing, then you should know that I am God. And since you know that I am God, then you know that I have authority to forgive these sins. Put it together, guys. They didn't. Jesus told the paralytic to stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. With arms that didn't work just 30 seconds ago, he picked up his mat. With legs that were useless just 10 seconds ago, this man walked out the door and went home. Jesus sent this man back to his home with a new life. Not because he was physically healed, but because he had been forgiven of his sins. He was a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I'm sure this man and his friends did do a celebratory dance down the road. I could imagine what they were doing. But the one thing they were doing is they were praising God all the way home. And I bet that was an awesome sight to see. I bet that was awesome. Everyone there on that day saw what happened. But as we have seen, there were two different responses to the truth. We know how the paralytic responded. The word also tells us that many were in awe and that they glorified God. We also know how the scribes responded. They hardened their hearts even more. So much more that they hung Jesus on a cross. What was his crime? They said he committed blasphemy, which you can't be guilty of if you're God. So I guess there are two ways to respond to Jesus, the God-man. Either you can reject him and rely on your own self-righteousness, or you can be in awe of the power of God and accept his offer of the forgiveness of your sins. It's not God's will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be saved. Jesus is able to forgive you of your sins. And like I said at the beginning, this is a big one. That's the heart of the gospel. This is the message of Christianity. This is the message from the front of this book to the back of this book. Man can be forgiven of sins. Man can be set free from the consequences of sin. Sinful man can have peace with the holy God. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. Sinful man can be fully cleansed and brought into eternal fellowship with the holy God. That's the heart of Christianity. And Jesus said and proved that he is the one who is able to forgive sins. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's right.